నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
Entitled The Hellish Planets,
verse number 18.
యస్త్రీహ వా అసం విభాజ్య స్యాతి తత్ కించనోపనతం అనిర్మిత పంచయజ్ఞో వాయస సంస్తుతః స పరంత్రా క్రిమిభోజనే నరగాధమే నిపతతి తత్ర శతసహస్రయోజనే క్రిమిగుండే క్రిమిభూతః స్వయం క్రిమిభిర్ ఏవ భక్ష్యమాణః క్రిమిభోజనో యావత్ తత్ అప్రత్తా ప్రభూతాదో అనిర్వేశాం ఆత్మానం యాతయతే యః.
ఎనీ పర్సన్ హూ
Iha,
in this life,
va, or asam, vibhajya,
without dividing.
Ashanti,
ashnati,
eats, yet kinchana,
whatever,
upanatam, obtained by Krishna's great. Anirmita, not performing,
Panjayajnaha,
the five kinds of sacrifices,
Vayasa,
with the cross,
Samstutaha,
who is described as equal,
Saha,
such a person,
Paratra,
in the next life,
Krimi Bhojane,
named Krimi
Bhojana,
Naraka Adhame,
into
the most abominable of all hells,
Nipatati,
falls down,
Tatra,
there,
Chatasahasrayojane,
measuring
100,000
yojanas,
Krimi
Gunde,
in
a lake of worms,
Krimi
Bhutaha,
becoming
one of the worms,
Swayam,
he himself,
Krimi
Bhi,
by
the other worms,
Eva,
certainly,
Bhakshyamanaha,
being eaten,
Krimi
Bhojanaha,
eating
worms,
Yavat,
as
long as,
Tat,
that
leg is
void.
Apratta
aprahuta,
unshared
and unoffered
food.
Adaha,
one who
eats.
Anirvesham,
who
has not performed
atonement.
Atmanam,
to himself.
Yatayate,
gives pain.
A
person
is considered
no better
than a crow
if after
receiving some
food,
he does
not divide
it among
guests,
old men
and children,
but simply
eats
it himself.
Or if
he eats it
without
performing
the five
kinds of sacrifice.
After
death, he is
put into
the most
abominable
hell known as
Krimi
Bhojana.
In
that hell
is
a lake,
100,000
yojanas,
800,000
miles
wide
and filled with
worms.
He becomes a
worm
in
that lake
and feeds
on
the other
worms
there,
who
also feed
on him.
Unless he
atones
for his
action
before his
death,
such
a sinful
man
remains
in
the hellish
lake of
Krimi
Bhojana
for
as many
years
as
there
are
yojanas
in
the
width
of
the lake.
Purport
by
Stephen G. Sri
Bhaktivedanta
Swami Srila
Prabhupada,
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
As
stated in
Bhagavad Gita
3.13,
The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is first offered for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal enjoyment verily eat only sin. All food is given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko bahunam yogadadhati kaman. The Lord supplies everyone with the necessities of life. Therefore, we should acknowledge His mercy by performing yajna sacrifice. This is the duty of everyone. Indeed, the sole purpose of life is to perform yajna. According to Krishna, Bhagavad Gita 3:9. Yajnarthat karmanavanitra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for His satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. If you do not perform yajna and distribute prasad to others, our lives are condemned. Only after performing yajna and distributing the prasad to all dependents, children, brahmanas and old men should one eat. However, one who cooks only for himself or his family is condemned, along with everyone he feeds. After death, he is put into the hell known as Krimi Bhojana. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadrubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahadbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhumte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaha Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me. Hare Krishna. Here we have an elaborate description of the hellish planets which are placed at the bottom of the universe, even beneath Patala, and these descriptions are not very positive. They are a bit scary if you really think about it. At the same time, one could even question, does such a place exist, or how horrible such a place is? However, we can see the entire chapter from the perspective of karma, from the perspective of the actions and the consequent reactions. So there are two aspects. One is action and reaction. They are the primary meanings of karma. Action and reaction, two things. One is action, what we do, that is called karma. And whatever reaction we get, that is also called karma. That is the two primary meanings. There are other meanings, but they are the two meanings for karma. Now, in the Vedic literature, both actions and reactions and the principles behind them are analyzed very elaborately. From that we can understand that the understanding of action and reaction is very sophisticated in Vedic literature, far more than anywhere else in this world. For example, we know about action in this world, right? We do believe in actions. People perform actions of all different kinds. And if you see the end result or results that one wants, it is to make oneself happy, isn't it? That is the final point, that whatever you do, that make you happy. That's all. So that is actually a typical Western thing. Whatever you do, that will make you happy. Doesn't matter what. And one day I was speaking to one of my aunties in India, and she was telling me, yeah, what at the end of the day, we had to do that makes us happy. Or she should do what makes her happy. They were referring to someone. And she's telling, yeah, this is the new thing, isn't it? This is what we have to adapt to. New principles that have come about. That do whatever makes you happy for a short period in time. So that is the current understanding of action. And the entire activities are centered around one's own pleasure, material pleasure and temporary pleasure, or even a pleasure for a moment. It doesn't matter, but that is the whole understanding of action. And we may say that we may not believe in karma or such kind of a reaction, or we don't worry about the future, we worry only about the present. But that is fake. Because if you are planning, you believe in the results, you believe in causality. Causality means there is a cause for everything. And we accept that something is going to happen based on our actions, because we do plan and we act for the future. So we are concerned about the future, even though one may say that I am living in the present. One is concerned about the future. So yes, this is the current understanding of action and the reaction. And as we know, according to the material mode in which one is placed, one is going to do different activities to make oneself happy. Isn't it? One will get into intoxication and other sinful activities if one is more in the mode of ignorance. In Rajas, it may change. So much of partying, making money, enjoying the unlimited desires, hankering plans. And in goodness, which is highly laudable, people want to do something which is more positive. In a simplistic way, some random acts of kindness. That is a big thing. There are many articles about random acts of kindness. Do something good for others. Randomly, do something good. Or be a vegetarian. Or fight for the animal cause, animal protection. People take into different levels of charities. I heard from, I think from my spiritual master, about this club. They are aiming at 50% club. That is, you had to give 50% in charity. Whatever you earn, 50% you had to give in charity. Then you are part of the club. Like our Rupa Goswami's principle. And 50% for charity in devotional service though. So similarly, 50% charity, because they realize that charity can make them happy. Which is true. Many wealthy people and the wealthiest persons are interested in charity, because they can see that if they are helping someone, that cause is actually making them happy. So there is some meaning, because they cannot see any other meaning. So at least a meaning and purpose in the mode of goodness is making them happy. So yes, charity is well received in the society. So there is always a name for that charity. People are ready to throw money for charity in different levels. I was hearing a talk by a moralist philosopher. He has written books about ethics. A very well-known person from Melbourne Uni. He is a professor in Princeton University at this point. And he wrote this article and about ethics of eating. Ethics of eating. And became very famous. And he has written books about animal liberation. All these kind of things. And primarily subscribing to vegetarianism and veganism, etc. So he became very famous. So he wrote these things way before vegetarianism became popular, many years back. And of course, when he gives a talk, there are a lot of people to watch. At the same time, he is a proclaimed atheist. Okay. On one side, yes, he is doing something good, we can say, supporting vegetarianism, good causes in one sense. At the same time, he is an atheist. And his arguments are very shallow. Very, very shallow. There cannot be an all-loving God because there are problems in this world. So, very, very shallow arguments. Very shallow arguments. At the same time, he was giving a presentation and he was making this point that over the years, if you consider decades and over 100 years, the human beings are becoming more intelligent based on the IQ. And he was giving some statistics that 50 years back, if you give an IQ test for kids of certain age, they would score this much. And now, if you give them the same questions, they will score 50% more. So it shows that humans have become more intelligent over past 5 decades. Very interesting, objective study. But what's the problem in this study? The problem is, see the world, what's happening in this world. Is the environment getting any better? Our wars are reducing, violence is reducing, the mental problems are reducing? No. Nothing is reducing. So, even though one can objectively conclude in this way, but it's a fake study, it doesn't have any value. It's just a joke. That presentation is a joke. And at the same time, his conclusion is we should all do charity. That is his conclusion. We should all do charity. So everyone should set up something or contribute to or set up something for charity and help people. Looks like a noble cause. But at the same time, when one rejects God, it is very offensive. It is aswarik. That is the definition of a demon according to Bhagavad Gita. It's not like horribly looking, having some horns or something of that sort. It is just, once one rejects God, then one is considered a demon. And if one is a devotee, is considered a demigod. It's a simple definition. So this is how this world is going. And in goodness, one can at least come to some sort of mentality of helping others. But still, if it is without God consciousness, it's not going to take one very far, because as one is influenced by other modes, lower modes, instead of being charitable, one can become quite cruel or selfish, because that's how the modes work. So at this point in time, one can be in goodness, the mode changes and the whole thing can change. So that is the point in the 6th canto the Yamaduta is making. Everyone is subjected to punishment. So they are making the point that everyone will get punished. Just wait. Why? Now you are in goodness, but things will change. If not in this lifetime, after a few lifetimes. And so, everyone is punishable. So they are telling, we will never be out of job. We'll have engagement. So we can get paid people and we can punish them. So here, that being the case, what are the real actions? And what are the subsequent reactions? So that is the question. And this verse is actually pointing to that. When one commits sinful activities, then what are the consequent results? So causality is an important thing. Causality means action and there is a reaction. If you accept there is an action and reaction, that is causality. We are accepting a cause, which is studied even in mechanistic science. You know, in the classical science, they accept causality. It is all based on that. In relativistic world, yes, to a great degree it is dependent on that. In quantum physics, it's a bit funny. They analyze, but there is causality, but it's a bit funny. So, everywhere, causality is discussed. Action and reaction everywhere is discussed. Now, when we approach Vedic literature, it is very profound. How the action and the subsequent reactions are analyzed. It's very, very profound. It's very sophisticated. First, when you talk about action, Vedic literature speaks about who performs the action, the qualification of the actor. That's where it is starting from. So here also we can see the term prescribed duties. Bhagavad Gita, many times Krishna uses this word, prescribed duties, niyata karma. So when you talk about prescribed duties, it is for a person having a particular nature or having a particular qualification. So that qualification is coming from two aspects. So the actions are prescribed according to varna and ashram. That is the beginning. So that is the qualification. According to what is one varna or occupation? The Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. According to varna, there are different duties, prescribed duties. Then even one who is present in particular varna, one can be in different ashrams. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Then the duties change. This is the beginning analysis of the varna and ashram. Say for example, Brahmana, he will go through all the four ashrams. Kshatriya will go through three ashrams. Vaishya can also go through three ashrams. And Shudra, two ashrams. One ashram. So this is how the varna ashram system. And for example, the duties. A sannyasi has different duty compared to a brahmachari or a grihastha. So duty of a brahmachari is to primary duty, swadhyaya, self-study and teaching along with that. And menial service, the first in the primary occupation for purification. Second, for grihasthas, it is charity. Because one earns money and one can get easily attached to that money and one has to perform charity. So that's where that is stressed in this verse. One is a householder and not performing any charitable act. What are the reactions? That we can see here. And for a vanaprastha, tapa, austerities are the main means of purification in Krishna consciousness, of course. And for a sannyasi, abhayam, tattva samshuddhi, that is fearlessness and being fixed in the truth and spreading the truth. That is the primary duties of a sannyasi. So we can see according to ashram, there are different duties. And also it is mentioned, even regular aspects. Brahmachari has to minimum take bath once a day. Grihastha and vanaprastha twice a day. And sannyasi thrice. So like that, so there are different duties which are prescribed in the Vedic literature. And of course, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, we know what are their occupation. You know, priestly class, administrative class, merchandise class, or Goraksha, Vandijyam, cow protection, and Shudra class, labor. So, the duties are defined according to Varna and Ashram. That is the first point about action. There are two levels, Varna, Ashram, accordingly the duties are given. Then, not finished, then it can, the duties are even further classified, like prescribed duties are there, forbidden actions are there, the prescribed duties are niyata karma, where the daily activities are there. Then naimittika is there once in a while or danger situation. Then desired activities are there. We can read in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter purports. So in which on a daily activity of or one of the daily activities of a grihastha is panchasuna. So here it is given as panchayajna. So if one doesn't perform panchayajna, then one is punishable. So that's the point. So these panchayajnas are nothing but one is showing gratitude to the people who helped us For example, Panchayagna, the worship or sacrifice for five kinds of people. One group is the great sages. Because the great sages gave all this knowledge and tradition. And so one has to reciprocate to them by offering sacrifices to them. So that is one level. Second, Pitriyajna for the forefathers. Then Bhutayajna for all living entities, because we cannot live without all other living entities. Then Manushyajna for other human beings. And also Devayajna for the demigods, for supplying different ingredients for life. So in this way, one has to do different sacrifices. So Prabhupada makes this very clearly in this purport that yajna arthat karmana vinitra lokoyam karma bandhana. If one doesn't perform activities for yajna, then one will be caught in this material world. So one will be going on and on with the repeated birth and death and concomitant suffering. So that is the point. And so here very much stress that one has to perform this yajna. If not, one will be punishable in the hellish planet. And this comes under daily yajna. So Pancha yajna is performed daily. And for a devotee, it is chanting Hare Krishna and preaching, helping others. That is a devotee's means of Pancha yajna. We don't do other things. We may not do demigod worship or Pitra Puja or all these kind of things. They are not necessary, but Sankirtan yajna. That is our point. As Vaisheshika Prabhu started this campaign, live to give. That is the essential principle. If you see Panchayajna, at this point in time, what is the Panchayajna for us? Live to give. What? Krishna consciousness. Specifically about book distribution. Live to give. It's a very nice mission statement. It's a motto. It's like live to give. So that is our Panchayajna. That's what we had to do. And then, so the Panchayajna is part of the daily duty for a grihastha. Daily they had to go. On top of that, there are actions which are according to different levels of piety. Can you imagine? There are, say for example, Ashwamedha, that is comes under very top grade piety. And there are different yajnas which will get different results and different piety levels. So there are ratings. Piety ratings are there for each yajna. And one gets benefit accordingly. Then, it is not just we perform these activities, but with what intention or consciousness in which these activities are performed. That is also taken into consideration. In other words, Bhagavad Gita analyzes this point based on the attachment to the results. Is one doing for oneself? Or just giving away, or doing it for the Supreme. So in that way, where the result is going to, and what is the level of attachment, that is also taken into consideration. So the modes in which one is acting, in other words. Because according to the modes in which one is acting, one will get different reactions. So you can see, this is all very sophisticated. So when you talk about reaction, that is a separate thing altogether. Not only that, the actions can be in different planes. Basically, it can be gross, subtle or spiritual. Bhagavatam says, Kayena va chamana sendriyerva buddhyatmana va niyata svabhavat. It's a very famous verse. India, many people chant this. Kayena, the actions can be performed in Kayena, with the body. Vacha, with the words. Manasa, with the mind. Indriya, with the senses. Buddhi, with one's intelligence. Atmana, with the soul. Or Niyata Svabhavat. And these are acquired according to one's nature. And then the verse is telling, Karami Yattat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayati Samarpayattat. So I am offering all this as an offering to Narayan, to Krishna. So that is the verse speaking. So here, these actions are analyzed according to different degrees. Say for example, if one is committing sin with action, that is considered most critical, isn't it? So beating someone, it is bad. It is or a higher order sin. Or killing someone, it is even higher. That's the reason in the Tulsi Arati we chant this. What is that? Yani kani chapapani brahmahatya adi kani cha. Brahmahatya. One kills a brahmana. So brahmana is on the top order and doing a sin which is on the highest order, killing. So even that can be rectified by doing pradakshina around Tulsi Devi. So that's the meaning of that. So if you see that, so one is committing violence to the highest order person in the highest level, one will get the highest punishment. So if you consider all these permutations and combination, we can see almost an infinite scenarios of reactions as well. It is quite sophisticated if you think about it. And then there are five factors which are involved in action, Bhagavad Gita says, right? The place of action, the body, the performance, the performer, various senses, different kinds of endeavors, and ultimately the super soul. So there are different instruments that we are using, or different persons or instruments which are involved in an action. Primarily it is, the doer is the self, the atma, material nature, which includes the body, whatever we see around, and the super soul. Three are there in the action. So the Lord as super soul sanctions, and we desire, Lord sanctions, and material nature provides the facilities, any action. So that's how it is. So here we can see the complexity of actions, and in the Vedic literature, how they are being analyzed. And we also know that when it comes to the reactions, there is a whole cycle of reactions, how they come about. Aprarabdha phalam pavam kudam bijam bhalonmukam kramanyeva praliyata vishnu bhakti ratatmanah. You know, one does sinful activities because of ignorance. First there will be sinful desire, and the sinful desires will be manifested as sinful action, papam. Then the sinful action will breed sinful reaction, which is stored. It hasn't manifested yet. And after some time, it will manifest. And then there is suffering. And the same unmanifested sinful reaction will develop as sinful proclivity within the heart. And that will raise to more sinful desire, and then more sinful action. So the cycle continues. So there is a whole analysis about that. Then ultimately, it is said, or the next canto mentions, if someone performs some sinful action, the solution is prayaschitta, atonement. So there are many, many prayaschittas or atonements which are prescribed in Vedic literature. And there are experts in that. So they are part of karma ganda. I did this sinful activity, so now how can I atone for that? I can do this prayaschitta yajna. And with that, one can avoid the punishment to great degree. That reason, when Buddhimanta Khan, he was touched, or he was thrown, some Muslim king threw some water on him, poured some water on him, and converted him to Islam. So nothing happened. This is part of, you know, part of the rituals, actually part of the superstitions, that by throwing him, if Muslim throw some water on the body, the Hindu will turn into Muslim and he will be considered as outcast. This was the Indian system. It's not a Vedic system. That anyone, if someone touches, a Muslim touches you, your caste is lost. If you are a Brahmana, now you become a Muslim straight away. So this was the system. So this is what happened to Buddhimanta Khan, right? Because Buddhimanta? You remember Buddhimanta, right? Same with Buddhimanta. So because the Muslim ruler, he converted because of that issue, that he punished him. His wife, the king's wife, saw marks on his body and asked how this mark came. So he said, look, I was the servant of Buddhimanta, and then I was punished. He, out of loving affection, he punished me, and that's why there are whip mark on my body. He said, okay, go kill him. Because he punished you when he was a kid, now go kill him. So he said, no, how can I kill him? Because he was like my father, and he punished severely, but at the same time he was like father, out of affection he punished. I cannot kill him. He said, then, okay, convert him into Islam. That was the solution. So he went and threw some water on him. He became a Muslim. So now what can he do? So he went and he went to Banaras to ask Brahmanas who are experts in Prayaschitta. Karmakandi Brahmanas who are experts in Prayaschitta. If you do some sinful activities, then how can you atone for that? So they gave the solution. What was the solution? One solution was you melt the metal. I don't know which metal it was. Lead. Yeah, that's the, usually that is the punishment. Lead. You melt the lead and then drink that. So boiling lead, drink. That is the punishment. If you do that, you are atoned for your sin. Because now you have become a Muslim. That is atoned. So different people gave different kinds of solutions. This is how the Prayaschitta works. Not necessarily everything is severe like that. But there are different kinds of pujas as Prayaschitta. If you go to India and if you go to an astrologer, you will tell, okay, you have such and such problems. So now you have to do puja as Prayaschitta. Godana, give a cow to a Brahmana. Different kinds of things are there. And give money, do this homa, yagya, so many things are there. So do different kinds of things as atonement. So, okay. So he said, you know, what's the point? Other people told, just give up the life. These were the kind of Prayaschitta they were giving to Buddhimanta. So finally he approached Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya told, go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. That's the solution for everything. So finally, if you do any karmic analysis, the conclusion is chant Hare Krishna. So we don't perform this Panjasuna or Panjaya. That is performed simply by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. At the same time, as it is mentioned here, we should eat only prasadam. So this is a very important take-home point for all the devotees. We should offer and take prasadam. We shouldn't desire to go to restaurants and eat vegetarian food or vegan food. Just to try out the restaurant. Let me try such and such things. We shouldn't do that. That is not acceptable. There are emergencies in which devotees have eaten restaurants. That is okay. There is no choice. That is a different thing. But if you are planning, the new restaurant has opened, let me try it out. So that falls into the same category as it is given here to a great degree. It is considered a sinful activity because one wants to enjoy. It's a sinful activity. If there can be a naimittika, that is, it can happen that in a circumstance, one doesn't have to eat anything, traveling somewhere, if no choice, one may eat some vegetarian food which is not offered. It could happen. That is still acceptable. But what happens if one is making plans, living at home, one can cook and eat, come to temple and go to restaurants, and that time, devotee restaurants, and that time one wants to enjoy outside food, that is sinful. It actually falls into the category of the sin. So that is a straight take-home point from this verse. Someone has to offer and take prasadam. Second, we need to distribute prasadam. So that is another thing. One has to distribute prasadam, one has to cook, one has to distribute prasadam. So devotees do that activity generally. We see this in this congregation. Devotees generally invite devotees, feed prasadam. Temple is inviting everyone and come and have prasadam. So we have a very good culture of prasadam distribution, which is very good. And also, it comes to the point that in life, our aim shouldn't be to stash things up for ourselves. Just stashing things. Just collection. So there is a limit to collection. After some time, one may have the tendency to collect. After some time, the collected items, just give away. So collection is not good. That collecting mentality is not good. The brahmachari is 6 months. One should raid one's possessions and see whether it is useful or not. If it's not being used, you can give away. No need to accumulate. Do something about it. And for grihasthas, generally the tendency of grihasthas is to collect. Because that's where big houses are there, then there can be a lot of collections. So if you live simply, then the collections will go. Small house, not much collection because there is no space. So you can see the advertisements. Declutter your house. We have storage. You hire the storage, pay a few $100 and declutter your house. So they are giving different kinds of solutions. So devotees say, don't worry about it. Just give away. Whatever is not used for a long time, no use, just give away. Don't get attached. So that is another principle we can derive from this. So it's very important that we don't accumulate things, and at the same time, we do distribute prasadam. So here, the punishment is very severe. So see, a person is considered no better than a crow if after receiving some food, he does not divide it among guests. So if a guest comes, one has to treat the guest very properly. A very, very important principle. We can see in, you know, Vedic homes, we can see it very easily. In among devotees, we can see it very easily. That guests have to be treated properly. And if one doesn't know, one should learn. Even one is very poor, still one has to treat the guest properly. So it is mentioned, at least one can offer some sweet words, a cup of water, and a place to sit. So that is the minimum. At least one can offer that. So guest has to be received properly. And if one prasadam is there, we have to give to the guest. And devotees do that, of course. Old men, children. And if one doesn't do that, but simply eats it himself, or if he eats it without performing the 5 kinds of sacrifices. So here, 5 kind of sacrifices for us is Sankirtan Yajna. That is live to give principle, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says. Very good point. That are we distributing Krishna consciousness in one form or the other form? If we are not doing that, then we are not actually engaged in 5 kinds of sacrifices. So our chanting alone is not enough. We had to give Krishna consciousness to others. So we had to do something in that direction. We had to play our part in that whole process. It can be different roles, but one will have to play one's own part. If not, one is sent to Krimi Bhojana. It's a common word in Indian languages, right? Krimi. Wow. Krimi Bhojana. One eats other krimis, one eats other worms, and one is eaten by other worms. And in a lake of, with how much? 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 mile wide. This is the punishment. And this is not a joke, and it's a reality. Those who have intelligence can accept this. And that's why next canto we hear that Maharaj Parikshit became very disturbed hearing this. And he started asking questions, how can we help living entities from this kind of sinful punishment, hellish punishment? So, these are realities and these are not just a description, exaggeration. No, they are not exaggeration, these are realities. So, for us devotees, we have to take this principle to the highest level. That is, chanting Hare Krishna, reading and studying Prabhupada books and distributing them. In that way, one can be out of karmic cycles. Now, if you see Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it's a heavy theme in Bhagavad Gita. Analysis of karma, it's heavy. So many chapters, karma and karmic reactions are described. Starting from second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, if you see verses, you know, 30 to 38, it's mentioned, you know, if you do your duties, if you perform your karma as a kshatriya, you will go to heaven, otherwise to hell. And beginning of the Buddhi Yoga section, the presentation of Buddhi Yoga section itself is karma bandhat prahasyasi, karma bandham prahasyasi. That's how the Buddhi Yoga section is starting in the second chapter, in verse 39. So the emphasis given on karma is so much in Bhagavad Gita. Or in other words, how can one get out from the karmic reactions? That emphasis is given a lot. If you see chapter 3, verse 1, Arjuna is confused. His question is also the same, whether to perform duties or give up duties. If you see chapter 5, again Arjuna's question is in the same line. If you see Bhagavad Gita, chapter after chapter, we can see the karma description is given again and again, with so much of details. A lot. What are the actions and the consequent reactions, in the sense that one has to get out of action and reaction. It is emphasized, even in Bhakti Yoga it is mentioned. In the verse 28, 9th chapter, Shubhashubha phaler evam mokshase karma bandhanehi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimuktoma upaishyasi. In this way, you will be freed from bondage to karma and its auspicious and inauspicious results. So this is presenting in the right in the Bhakti Yoga section of Bhagavad Gita. To show that even there Krishna emphasizes that one has to get freedom from the bondage of karma. So of course it's presenting about devotional service. But karma is emphasized so much in Bhagavad Gita. Same in Bhagavatam, we can see Naishkarmyam abhi achyadava bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam, 5th chapter of 1st canto. Narada Muni instructs Vyasadev. Even one comes to the platform Naishkarmyam, or no reactions to one's action based on jnana, still that is incomplete. Why? Because it is achyada bhava varjitam, which is without Krishna consciousness or worship of the Supreme Lord. So everywhere we can see, whenever bhakti is presented as a side point, it is always mentioned that one can get freedom from the bondage of action and reaction throughout Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So it's a very central theme we can see in our literature. So in that way, it's very sophisticated, and so a detail of that is given in this verse 18. That if one doesn't perform this act, the act of sacrifice as Panjayajna, then what is the consequent reaction? So with this I stop and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Mother. Prasadam, you cannot say that you will go to hell. Because for a devotee it's different. We cannot say you will go to hell. But yeah, it's not good. But it's, we cannot say go to hell because devotees will not go to hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I just feel that not worth that much extreme punishment.
Yes. That's what it's saying. So that's what it is. Yes, solution is given. But if one doesn't, it's a bad thing.
No, I'm saying that if a person doesn't distribute food, or what it's saying is to go to hell.
Yes, if one doesn't, say, does not divide among guests, yes. If a guest comes, one doesn't feed the guests, old people and children. Must be quite cruel if one doesn't give food to all these kind of people. Then this is a kind of reaction.
It's a bit extreme. So.
It is. Okay. Thank you very much. Tantra Shiva Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.